Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are glad to be able to gather once again to share the Word of God. And I believe it's more than just words that we speak. And I believe that it is meat to eat. If you remember the woman at the well in the Samaritan village, the disciples came and they were hungry, so he sent them off to get some food, and while they were gone they missed the heavenly banquet. And when the disciples asked him why he wasn't hungry, he said that he had meat to eat that they did not know. And you know, I find that strange, because these men spent a lot of time with Jesus Christ. But in actuality, I don't believe that they saw him as the Christ as much as they saw him as a natural man. And I'm afraid that that is the story with many of us who are Christians. We do not understand the difference between being born in the natural and born again. If we understood it, we would not be so attached to our native environment, all of the traditions and all of the traditions and doctrines that our tradition has concerning who and what we are as a people. So, you know, there is a position, there is a place of understanding that God wants to bring us to as a people. And there is a word that God is bringing to us as a people. When I first came to know the Lord, I'll give you a little of my testimony. I don't know if you've heard it before, but maybe you can hear it again. I was under an influence that shaped and molded me in a fashion to be what you would call an American cowboy. And of course, while I was growing up back there many years ago, you know, the cowboy figure was absolutely, positively American. And on various products, you would see this man riding on a horse, and you would know right away that that man is an American. And when I came to know the Lord, when I really came to know the Lord, I was born again when I was 8 years old, but I backslid when I was 12. And then the Lord did not get a hold of me again until I was 23.
ከዛ በኋላ ምን ሊሆንኛ ከዛ ወደ 20ዎቹ አመት ድሜ ሲገባ ደግሞ ጌታ እንደገና
when the lord really got a hold of me at 23
በጣም እግዚአብሔር ግን ተገናኘኝ የምለው የ23 አመት ድሜ ያለው
it was through the word of god that was coming to us as a people
የእግዚአብሔር ቃል ሰው ለእናንተ እንደምንነጋገረው በቃ በጌታችን ተገለጠ
I have always grown up I have grown up in a very religious environment My mother was what we call Southern Baptist and there are many Baptists but the Southern Baptists are the Baptists of the Baptists And they believe that they find their roots not only in by the blood of Jesus Christ but in the aspect of John the Baptist who baptized Christ. And I was in church almost all of my life up until my teenage years. But there was never anything about church or the word that was coming in church after my initial salvation that created a hunger in me for God. And now the Baptists are very evangelical, they're very evangelistic. They believe on knocking on doors, handing out tracts, and all of that sort of stuff. And they concentrate on getting you saved, but they get you saved for a specific reason. And that reason is that you will not go to hell. It's a good intention. It's an admirable intention. But it does not fulfill the obligation of the word that we have. It does not fulfill the obligation of the responsibility of the word of the Bible that we have concerning what God's thoughts and intent are for man in salvation.
ያ ብቻ አይደለም እዛ ጋር ብቻ የሚቆም አይደለም እና በቃሉ የተገለጠው ለነኖረው የሚገባን ብዙ ደረጃ እንዳለ ያሳያል
So we really have to understand the mechanics of God concerning the word of God.
የቃሉን አመራርና በቃሉ ውስጥ የተገለጠውን አሳብ
What is it that God had in his mind in the very beginning?
ምን ነበር እግዚአብሔር በፍጥረት ጅማሬ እሱ ሐሳብ
ነበር? And is that purpose? Is that intent? Is that thought? Still the predominant thing that is in God's mind. Oh, we can argue that times change and so theology and religion has to adapt to those sets of circumstances. But I don't believe that. Not because I have my own theory, not because I have my own doctrine, but because God says, I never change. God says, I am the same today as I was yesterday. And I will be the same as I am today, tomorrow. So whatever the thought of God was in the beginning is a thought that has been working in the aspect of time throughout its entirety to come to a conclusion at the end of that time to have that what he had purpose in his mind in the beginning. And you know, if you want to know what his purpose was, you have to go back to the beginning. And I think this is one of the major problems with Christianity, that we are confused as to the plan and the purpose of God. We believe that we have to get people saved in order to keep them out of hell. But there is a little bit of problem with that. And we find that problem that is highlighted in John chapter 3, verse 3. It says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So a man can be born and he can see, but is seeing entering. Is seeing being able to enter into the reality of the kingdom, of what the scripture calls the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And if you go on to verse 5, it says that a man cannot enter. Now, that verse 5 clarifies verse 3. That verse 5 clarifies or defines verse 3. You can be born, but yet there is another experience that you have in order for you to enter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what if you do not have that experience? Would it then be possible for you to enter? Hallelujah. If you read the scripture and believe what the scripture is saying in that respect, there is a blockage or a hindrance there that is determined to keep the man from entering. Now, the Baptist denomination that I came out of as a Christian, I was born again in the Baptist environment. Hallelujah. But the Baptists do not believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, that creates a problem for a believer who is influenced by a Baptist mentality. Because it virtually blocks a man from progressing beyond the position of that salvation experience. And so, in their doing good, in the winning of souls, they become a hindrance and a blockage for those whom they have brought into this position of being born again. Hallelujah. Now, what is the purpose for which we are born again? We have to understand that. We have to come to grips with that. And it must be one of the major stones of our Christian experience, one of the major foundational stones of our Christian experience. And if you go into Genesis chapter 1 and you go to verse 26, you will find that God states very specifically, very exactly, what his intention was when he made man. Hallelujah. Now, if you go to school and you want to be an engineer, let's say you want to be a structural engineer, there are certain principles of physics that govern that position of learning. There are certain fundamental concepts that are immovable or unchangeable. It's like the law of mathematics. You take one and one, it makes two. You can't take one and one and make three, or make one, or make five. It's an immovable concept. Hallelujah. It's irrefutable. Hallelujah. Well, there are certain irrefutable, unchangeable, non-negotiable concepts in Christianity. And one of those concepts is in the aspect of what is in God's mind concerning his intent with man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there is something here I want to share with you, and I've probably shared it before many times. But there is really a kernel of revelation, a truth that is hidden in that particular scripture in verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis. When God was creating the world, it always said that God said, at least in the English, it says, God said. Hallelujah. And God said so and so. And so happened. And God said so and so. And so and so happened. But when it comes, now that word God, when they use that word God, God said, but the word God is the Hebrew word Elohim. So it is not, and Elohim is the plurality of God. Hallelujah. So when he said, Elohim said, it means that there was a plurality of activity, of entities and personalities working together to produce something. Hallelujah. But in verse 26, only place there in Genesis chapter 1, it said that Elohim said, let us. It was as though God absolutely at that point divided himself into three entities. Hallelujah. Because what I'm saying is, it is a specific us which defines individual personalities. The word us. Hallelujah. So in that statement and in that place, there was a specific thought or goal that the us wanted to accomplish.
እንፍጠር ብሎ የተናገረው አባባል ቀላል አይደለም። እንፍጠር ካለ በኋላ የፈራው እንፍጠር ደምሽኝ።
And that thought or that intent was, let us make man.
So,
hallelujah.
እንደምሳሌያችን እንፍጠራለን።
But he wanted to make man in a specific way, in a specific manner.
በተለየ መልኩ ነው ደግሞ ሰው የፈጠረው።
And in that specific way, in that specific manner, hallelujah, he said, let us make him in our image. And let us make him in our likeness. Hallelujah. There is no other creation of God where you see the plurality of God divided or separated into individual aspects of identity, hallelujah, to do one specific thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all of what I am telling you entails the mechanics of what it is when the Bible says you must be born again. Hallelujah. Because it is in that aspect or that experience that the plan of God comes to you and I as an individual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church teaches us that we have to be born again by the blood of Jesus. We have to be baptized into water, and we have to adhere to the creed of the organizational function that we are now become a part of.
Hallelujah.
And under that theology, you and I can miss God completely. Because God's intent was never to build denominational structures. Hallelujah. God's intent was never to divide and to separate. Hallelujah. Especially if you take the theology of oneness that God laid down in chapter 17 of John. Hallelujah. Where Jesus, the man that is called Christ, hallelujah, was praying for his disciples. Now, you have to understand, this is not just a man praying. This is a man who has God inside of him. And as he releases the God that is inside of him, and the words come out of his mouth, it releases an energy into the environment that is there, that goes to work to bring about the fulfillment of what it was he was praying. Hallelujah. What did he pray? That they may what? Be one. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, I in you. That they may be one in us. Hallelujah. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the position that he had with the Father in the beginning. Hallelujah.
ልክ እንደዙ ያ ከፍጥረት ጀማሪ የነበረውን አንድነት ክርስቲያኖች ያሳዩ ዘንድ ነው ህብረትን አንድነትን ያሳዩ ዘንድ ነው የለመነው
And if you do not believe that you have to go back to the beginning of that 17th chapter
ይሄንን ማመን ማለችል ከሆነ አስቸጋሪ ነው ይሄን ማለት ለሰባት
where he was praying to the father and he said father the glory that give unto me the glory that I had with you in the beginning hallelujah what glory was that go to John chapter 1 verse 1 it says in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God hallelujah so he's saying the Lord and it says that that everything that was made was not made except with him hallelujah hallelujah
Amen.
So he's talking about that creative one aspect of that creative in existence of an entity that called itself Elohim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And now he's praying, Father, I want to once more become a part of Elohim. Hallelujah. And when the Bible is talking about glory, it's not talking about a shiny, effervescent thing that glows and it's bright. Hallelujah. It's talking about the nature or the essence. Are the totality of Elohim. Hallelujah. So he says to Father, give me the glory. Give me entrance into that position, into that place that I had with you in the beginning. Hallelujah. 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 And then he did a very strange thing. He turned around and he started praying for his disciples. And he said, Father, the glory that you have given me. Hallelujah. Did you hear it? He received at that moment, at that time, in that location, at that place. And humanity around him was not even aware of the miraculous thing that had transpired right there in their presence. Hallelujah. He says, the glory you have given me. The power of creation, the totality of life, and the ability to move in that arena. My God, hallelujah. He says, that which you have given me, I give to them. Hallelujah. Now, we have to understand how God gives. God doesn't give in little pieces or portions to give you a little thing that would satisfy you. When God gives, he gives the totality of himself. That's what it says in John chapter 3, I believe. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in the aspect of God and Jesus the man, hallelujah, there was no division between the entity or the personality of who he was and what it was God was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in that position or that state of magnificent existence, Hallelujah. It says that he walked and talked and ministered to the populace around him. John in chapter 1 says, and the word became flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. How far below that position of understanding do we as Christians dwell and walk and do the business of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we think that the little piece or the little part that we accomplish, hallelujah, might be sufficient for us to be received into a realm that we call heaven. Hallelujah. When all the time and all of the while God has a yearning and a desire to see the manifestation of what he prophesied in the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brethren, believe you me, we have been taught that heaven is this faraway realm, this faraway place. Hallelujah. That we have to labor in our Christianity to obtain. Hallelujah. And some of that labor is good labor. It is not that the labor is bad, but if the laboring does not produce within us, hallelujah, the reality of a nature that has been given to us, then we have not fulfilled the burden of the obligation of the word we call the Bible. Hallelujah. I believe that if I can bring one to Christ, and I can help to facilitate and develop the nature of that God within them. Hallelujah.
አንድ ደረጃ ብቻ እንድቆም ሳይሆን በክርስትና ህይወቱ እስከ ጌታ ሙላት እንዲያድግ በህይወቱ ብርቱ እንዲሆን
and in expanding their knowledge and their experience, their personal experience with a living God. With a living God. Then I am opening up the soul of that person, and heaven is coming down into that realm of that soul. Hallelujah. It is not important to get somebody into heaven as it is as important to get heaven within the man. Hallelujah. And the more that I establish the kingdom of heaven in the man, the more that the man has the opportunity to find the reality of a living God. Hallelujah. And it is that development of that nature in man that is not of the nature of humanity, but it is of the nature of God. Hallelujah. Because when we are born again, we are born of a supernatural aspect of what we call blood. Hallelujah. And that blood, in the aspect of my new birth, delivers me out of my nativity of familiarity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have to learn I have to learn to be a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. Not a citizen of the natural world and the global government. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that this word is a word that Jesus Christ was ministering to his disciples. Hallelujah. And this word created an intimacy between the disciples and in the culture in which they lived. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they were born Jews. They were living in a Jewish nation. And yet the word that God was bringing to them, He said it was making them not of that environment. And that environment would be hostile toward them as citizens of another country. Hallelujah. So when we are talking about this realm of experience, and we begin to see that perspective, then we can begin to understand the responsibility that we have according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. In Romans, the first chapter, sixth chapter, the first verse, Paul is talking to you and I about sin and righteousness. Hallelujah. And to really get the thoughts concerning chapter 6, you really need to read chapter 5. Because chapter 5 identifies the nature of our ethnic origin. Whatever it may be, it defines it as darkness. It defines it as death. It defines it as hell and desolation. So you have to take chapter 6 in relationship to chapter 5. It isn't as though you take chapter 5 is not as though you take one subject and then close that subject. Because chapter 6 defines what we must do in order to be delivered from that nature that is called sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he begins chapter 6 and he says, "Shall we continue in sin? That the grace of God may abound." What did he say? Hallelujah. God forbid. Now, I know probably that you're thinking sin, that was what we did when we were sinners. But you have to dig deeper. And you have to take the context of chapter 6 that is overshadowed by chapter 5. Because it's talking not about actions, but it's talking about the difference between two personalities. Hallelujah. And the laws that govern those personalities, the principal concepts that are written, that are unchangeable. Hallelujah. And it says that there is this nature that died and came under the dominion of hell. Hallelujah. And we now have been born again. What it means that we have been translated out of that environment of ethnical tradition and living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have been translated into a realm that the Bible calls light. That is not governed by do's and don'ts, but it is governed by a nature that wants to please God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if I have this understanding that I have been born out of the family of Azbil, I have been translated out of the kingdom of America, and I have been removed from the overshadowing of my mothers and father and grandfather and grandmother. Hallelujah. And I am now under the rulership or the headship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I have that understanding, if I have that knowledge, if I see that revelation, so what if I choose to be an Azbil? What if I choose to remain under the authority of all of those familiar spirits? What if I insist upon my Americanism? Hallelujah. 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 What am I doing? I'm transgressing the purpose of God. I'm resisting the move of the Spirit. And it's a desire to bring me out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. And Paul emphasizes this in somewhere about the fourth or the fifth verse, I believe. He says, how is it that we can walk therein any longer under that domination and on that position of captivity? Hallelujah. It says, for as many as has been baptized into his death. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. That means when I accept and decide to be baptized in water, I am burying Azbil. I am burying my grandmother and my grandfather. I'm burying my position of tribal affiliation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm burying my Americanism. I'm burying it. Hallelujah. That means it's finished. It's done. It's through. It's over. Hallelujah. And as I come out of the water, I'm no longer an Azazel. I'm no longer of the tribal affiliation of my family. Hallelujah. I'm no longer under the jurisdiction of the United States government. I am under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Paul further emphasizes this in the 8th chapter of Romans, because he begins to deal with the aspect of our position of being a son of God. Hallelujah. And he tells me that I am in a battle. But it gives me the key. And my battle is not with another personality here or there or here. My battle is with the two nations that are within my being. Hallelujah. The position and the family of Azazel and all of the Americanism at war. Hallelujah. With the family of God and the position of my sonship warring in there. Hallelujah. One trying to suppress the other. Hallelujah. But Paul says, mortify your members. He says, mortify, put to death those things that pertain to this natural arena. Hallelujah. And he says that later on, that we are not just children of God, but we are sons of God. Hallelujah. Not only sons and heir of God. Hallelujah. But we are joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. That means I am not just going to receive a portion of the kingdom of God. I'm not going to receive just a little piece, a little part, and be satisfied. Hallelujah. But I get the opportunity and get the opportunity to share in the position of excellence and glory. Hallelujah. That God said he wanted in the beginning. Hallelujah. That he was in the beginning. Hallelujah. That is the goal that God has for you and I. That is the word that God is bringing to us in this hour. And it is my responsibility to dig and to find the reality of that word in a living relationship with a living God. Hallelujah. I hope and I pray that God will give us the strength to move out of this lower realm with all of its attachments, and that we will rise by the power of revelation and understanding to be able to walk down the street as a living word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ministering and giving life to all that we meet. Hallelujah. You know, Peter had something of a revelation of his position of authority. It says in the word that that there would line the streets where they were going to see Peter walking. And when his shadow with his shadow moved over the sick and the infirm. Hallelujah. That they were healed. You never heard that about Jesus Christ. You heard many things that Jesus did. But there are certain things that the Bible records of the disciples that they moved in such a position to demonstrate them working in unity with God. Hallelujah.
እግዚአብሔር ደግሞ በደቀ መዛሙርቱ ቀጣይ ህይወት ሊያደርግ ያለው ነገር በእነሱ የህይወት ልምምድ ከጌታ ጋር ባላቸው ኑሮና ምልልስ የሚሰራል።
God is now giving you and I an opportunity to have that experience. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.